same plane. And the idea of branching is much harder to orient yourself in hypertext in World Wide Web. Now, this is the contemporary viewers. There's no reason why in 2 years we won't have examples of World Wide Web viewers like Netscape 6.0 or something that are just as good as story space and intermedia added up together. Now, one of the things I was going to show you, and I'll do this after I finish this talk. We're in the middle of a parenthesis here. I'll finish the talk and then I'll go to that. I will show you some of the things in Intermedia, which is a system I first worked with. It's no longer available. And there's no reason why we can't have some of those devices. But at the moment, there are two or three things. There's sort of what I'd call the web view, which Intermedia had. And it's a little easier to explain that. One-to-many linking, multiple windows of different sizes, and of course a lot more speed. And then it would turn it into much more, and then readers as fuller authors. They're partial authors now. Those, I think, are the four or five things you really need. Sure, it's a form of hypertext, but it's a much too primitive form. And too many people are willing to settle for its limitations. I think we have to keep pushing it. Let me take you through the end of this. We talked about hypertext as collage. The one point I wanted to make comes up the fact that what was important about those first, let me go back a bit, what was important about those first collages, let me see if I've left it open. Where's Picasso here? I'm looking for... You notice something. I've been a long time since I've looked at this. I can't remember where the things are. But because you have a lot of linking, one can easily find something if something is heavily linked to obvious points. Okay, what you had here in what is one of the first one or two collages ever created is something you can't find in the World Wide Web and you can't find in the story space. This is an actual rope. And I believe this is actual chair cane. One of the points of this so-called flat or plate or tray cubism is that you have a contrast between, quote, reality and representation. There's a jarring juxtaposition of something which is not represented, supposedly, and something which is a representation of space or non-space. And that was the whole point and the wit of it and the tremendous impact. But what happens when you can't have the physical? Well, these are just a series of photographs I've made and played around with. This is a building in Providence, Rhode Island, where I live. You can see this from the highway. If you get to this building, it isn't until you look at this you realize that none of these windows are real. The only windows I think that's real is this one. And maybe you can see it. It is extremely hard to read this as a representation of a window. Your eye automatically sees this. So here someone is playing with figure and ground, with a real window and the representation of a window.
Excuse me, George.
Yes?
Can you just clarify that, please? You mean that the building has a facade or...
This is all painted.
This
is all painted on bricks. None of these are windows.
Right.
In fact, some of the stuff isn't even brick. It'll become clear on the next one. Okay. Now, this is another one I was going to, let me go back to doing, I'll see if I can find where it came from. To save space, I took out one of these things. I took out some of my images, because this was originally on a disk. This is another place in Providence. It may have been done by the same artist. Turns out, this is clear that this is painted. But until I photographed this, I had no, and I got very close, I jumped went into comes out weird here. The only thing that's real is this window. The sill isn't real. The bricks are not real. The cracks. This crack is real, but one of the others isn't. The point is, this person's whole effect, the thing they're playing with, is that at some point you can distinguish between the physical and the non-physical, the representational. Well, part of these things, as I said, I took a lot of things out to save space here. We'll get through this in a hurry. Okay, now this is no longer the Berlin Wall because it had been taken down. It was in Berlin and it was the original wall, but the graffiti on it comes from several years after the fall of and the change in status. What I'm trying to emphasize is how notions of ground and reality and their insertion into semiotic codes, into ways of meaning, changes the way we experience things. Let's hope this will work. These are just various, this is more graffiti from various places, and they all play on images on identifiable surfaces that are known to be of a different existence. Yes? Yes? Is it on?
Explain the relation between the collage from Picasso and the hypertext. I don't get the point. The relation between. I understand that the two are collage, but there are. I think. I don't understand exactly. I think it's two different aims, two different goals, so I don't understand.
Exactly. That's my point. That's what I'm building up to. You're right. You've got it. That one of them, that you can't have hypertext collage in the way you have physical collage, because everything is semiotic, everything is virtual, so it can't be the same. And this is pictures of reflections, and I was going to go to the last thing, which is a sunset. And the point is, this was just a Photoshop image that I played around with. And it makes it very clear when you move some of these things away that this is not really a physical ground. It's different. It can't be the same.
Who made a hypertext work that looked a lot like a physical collage, and you said it was a different kind of collage,
right,
that you could use also. So,
okay, to go back to the beginning. Good question. Okay, now, see if I can find this. We're trying to remember where we have hypertext as collage. Just the beginning. This is the one that we had up here. Yeah, that's it. Point is, hypertext collage is collage because it has juxtaposition, like we just saw. It has taking things, appropriation, it has assemblage, putting things together, and it has concatenation. It also, that is jarring again, it blurs the limits and the edges of the borders, but it may blur the edges of documents and may create the visual experience of this kind of collage, but it can never have the real jarring effect of the contrast of Picasso and Braque for emphasizing this is physical and this is virtual, because everything here is virtual. That's the difference. I mean, all of hypertext's effects come from the fact they are all in the artistic or the virtual world. Whereas in Picasso and Braque, they at least claim that you are going to understand that there is a real piece of rope there. Of course, this first time you make a painting and you put a real piece of rope, that painting is jarring. The second time, it's already become part of the practice of painting, and it's become absorbed into it. But there is an essential difference. And that's the point I was making, is the things which make it hypertext prevent. There is some kind of conceptual
this virtual hypertext cannot have the same kind of jarring effect as a physical object.
Well, it can't jar on the same ground.
Okay. Would you say that that film, where montage and quick edits of very different subjects have a very jarring effect, what would you say hypertext in the relationship to film and the relationship of film then to physical collage?
The idea of the cut, and it is the changing of the subject, but it will not come because you go, oh my God, that's real and this is not real, and you have to adjust your vision. It's really out of timing, and there is one thing we haven't pointed out, that the reading of any hypertext web is a time-bound experience. Remember at the very beginning I said you can't say the hypertext is non-linear, because when you read in the hypertext,